A very good evening to you. Welcome along to this edition of Gospel for You. Somewhat different tonight, where our theme tonight is running the race with perseverance. What does that exactly mean? Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I'll read that again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, who is this exactly referring to? It's referring to the people of God, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And why are we in a race? Well, we're in a race to get a crown. Now, believe it or not, it doesn't just end at giving your life to Christ Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Because what then happens is that once we have accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour, as we live out our lives, and we do that in such a way that we honour God. And as we stand firm in our convictions and live our lives in a way that is pleasing to God, when it comes to the end of our lives, not only do we end up with salvation, which the Bible speaks about, but that each one of us receives a reward according to that which we have done on earth. And so many of the disciples, Paul as well, in his letter to the Hebrews, writes concerning this, because God sees our every move, but also our every thought is seen by others, those we cannot see. Even the fact that I'm sitting here at this microphone, speaking these words, but trusting fully in God, that God will help me and give me the words. But it's God, when we place our trust in God, it's God that helps us to be steadfast in our faith. And no matter what happens in life, how life may trip us up, we are able to stand firm in our faith and progress on in the path that God has called us to, with confidence. I will read this out again. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Why are we running this race? What are we trying to achieve? God's word says, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and your neighbour as yourselves. And by loving our neighbour, one of the things that God wants us to do, and the most important, live our life in such a way that other people see God in us, see Christ in us through our love toward others, through our kindnesses, through our words. All too often these are compromised by our reactions to situations, and I confess I've been there, I've done that. I'm afraid and I'm ashamed to say I've got the t-shirt so many times over. But God is a God who is merciful and gracious. But just because of that, it didn't mean to say we should continue doing wrong, but rather with the grace that God has given us, allows us to get up, start again, or continue, shall we say, with what God has called for us. Learning from each situation and asking God for help. loving our neighbor as ourselves means forgiving them when they wrong us. Loving our neighbor as ourselves, I know, also means going out of our way when we don't feel like it. Too many times I've been in that situation, and I'm sure many listeners, if they really care to admit it, would realize that they too have been in those situations. But how does the world see us? How does the world see the church? But the church is not a building, but the church is the people. It's people who make up the church. I'm part of the wider body of Christ. And it is our heart to work with believers, with the wider church, from all denominations, not only to speak, but to demonstrate the gospel of salvation, that message that each one of us, howsoever we live our lives or have lived our lives up to a point, can come to know Christ, to receive forgiveness, and then to start living our lives in a way that is wholly pleasing to God. That is essentially what that is about, but we want to make sure that people are able to experience the gospel, to see that gospel in action. We want to be able to run that race with perseverance, the race that is marked out for us, and God's calling on each and every person is going to be different. Each and every person's experience of God is going to be different. Last week, we were considering about knowing the God of the universe and very quickly came to a viewpoint that we can really only know God fully on an individual basis, because nothing we do really is going to fully encompass everything of who God is, because God is everywhere. He knows everything about me and everything about you far better than any group of people or technology ever could. Those scientists are coming closer to that understanding, or believe they're coming closer to that understanding. But in essence, what the world is favouring is not what God favours. God looks at the heart. And if he sees someone who has the heart that he looks after, then he is pleased. And that person can be used by God to do God's will. That's quite an amazing thing. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's consider in our lives, listeners, what is the most important thing in our lives. And I can tell you very clearly here and now that the most important thing in my life is getting the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, out to every language group around the world. And that is much greater than anything I do on this earth, much greater than my current employment with Aberdeen City Council, so much greater than that. What is important in your life? Is it your family? Is it your job? Yes, I confess I've got a great job and I love working with this team of Rangers because everyone gets on. We work as a team, we understand each other, and we have some great experiences together. But that in no way is matching up to what God has called me to do. So anyone out there listening, how far are you prepared to go for the gospel? Let's go and find out what else we've got coming up in this program. We have your gospel, that's John 3:16 in Catalan, in Icelandic and Malayalam. we have two testimonies for you. First, a cancer testimony by Jacqueline, and then from a real MAF mission aviation pilot. Engine oil gone. How could a plane stay up in the air without engine oil? We're always going to be hearing from Kingdom Come with Fergus Buchan. And today he'll be speaking about your boldness for Christ. We've also got some music from David West and from Carl Erasmus. Right, let's now get in to your gospel in Catalan.
Joan 3:16. Déu ha estimat tant el món que ha donat el seu fill únic perquè no es perdi ningú dels que hi creuen en ell, sinó que tinguin vida eterna.
Hi, my name is Jacqueline, and almost 8 years ago to the day, I believe God began to show me the link between emotions and disease as I lay in my hospital bed, being told that I had cancer again, and the results rolling in, going from bad to worse. It had now spread to bone and liver, and so an operation to remove some of the cancer. 6 months of chemo, radiation, and the following year I had 2/3 of my liver removed, along with my very healthy gallbladder, I might add. But I'm still alive, and I'm so grateful to God that he heard my prayer. I don't want to die now that I know the doctors told me I wouldn't survive chemotherapy. I remember asking the orthopedic surgeon, so how long did it take the cancer to eat my hip? And he said about 18 months, and I was catapulted back to a situation with a family member. God began to speak. And as he started showing me about the link between emotion and disease, God sent some people across my path to confirm what he was saying. Some gave me books as well, and everything was just confirming what God was showing me. Some gave me words. Two friends gave me the same word. They gave me reconnaissance and strategy, and observe and strategy, and I felt like I was in a movie for the longest time. It was so surreal. Another friend came before the day of the operation. He said, Jax, God told me to tell you, do not look at the facts and the figures, for he is in control. And still a pastor said to me, I believe the generations behind you are going to stand on the shoulders of what you're learning. So the reason I'm saying there's a link between emotions and disease is because this is my second fight with cancer. The first was in 2004, and there was no cancer in my biological family. And then God spoke, and he used David and Goliath, and he said he will be with me like he was with David in the battle. And in 2014, he said to me, you drew a line in the sand almost 10 years ago, and now I'm going to show you how to cut off Goliath's head. Forgiving yourself and forgiving others is key to healing, along with being responsible to eat wisely and to declare good things over your life, like I am fearfully and wonderfully made, instead of I'm sick. Do I still get scared? Yes. Late last year, some strange things started happening, and God even gave me a dream about it, and I felt I needed to go to the doctor. Got to the doctor, all the tests, the results were great, and he explained that what had been happening was related to one of the operations. However, before I went to the doctor to get the results, I really felt in my heart that I had to declare, it is well with my soul. And as he is, so am I in this world. And Jesus is alive, and he's healthy, and he's strong, and so am I. And before I saw the doctor, most of my symptoms had disappeared. Regarding my journey, I can say that prayer, changing mindsets, along with the support and care from family and friends, made all the difference. So keep looking up, and then look again, up again, because God is bigger. And my catchphrase for the last 8 years has been, God is bigger. Thank you.
Thank you.
It just so happened. Oil gone. One day I took off with a load of freight from our base in Jimma, a small provincial town in southwest Ethiopia, en route to an American mission station about 170 miles to the south and situated at 8,000 feet, very near the top of a mountain. Climbing out of our valley, 5,000 feet above sea level, to over 8,000 feet to clear the first range of mountains, I found them covered with cloud. As a matter of policy, we don't fly in cloud, because a lot of clouds have hard centres, very hard, made of rock. However, I knew the terrain and that after a few miles I would emerge again and should be okay. Flying without a horizon, the pilot must constantly scan his instruments to assess the aircraft's attitude and direction. The aircraft was flying straight and level, okay, but suddenly I saw that the engine oil pressure was reading zero. I was just emerging from the cloud and was surrounded by rugged mountains. I knew that if the engine had no oil pressure, it would seize up in about 2 minutes. I made a quick radio call back to one of the MEF wives who was doing the flight following on the HF radio, no air traffic control, giving details of the situation and my position. If it was just an instrument fault, I would know in a few minutes because the engine would still be running. On coming out of cloud, I knew there was another mission strip about 3 minutes away. It was not an easy strip, as it was cut straight into the side of a mountain. You only got one go at it, and you had to be right every time. As the cloud cleared from my vision, I could see where the strip should be, but it too was covered with cloud. It was that sort of day. There was another strip just round the side of that mountain, used by the same missionaries for the expansion of their evangelistic work, but it was a safe bet that that would be in exactly the same condition. I could see the mountain of my destination, and it was clear. Not that that would be any good if my engine was about to stop in the next minute or two, for the destination was at least 10 minutes away. There was just nowhere to go. Meanwhile, the alarm had been set off back home, and our second pilot and engineer were getting geared up to come after me and do what needed to be done. Minutes passed, and, amazingly, the engine was still running sweetly. It had got to be a faulty gauge. I felt relieved. There was nowhere to put down the aircraft in this mountainous region. The nearest road must have been at least 50 miles away, and it was just a dirt track, which could not be used in the rainy season. My destination was getting near, but it was a difficult strip on the side of this mountain, with a drop of several hundred feet at either end. Fortunately, touchdown was smooth and normal. I radioed the good news to base before taxiing back to the waiting missionaries. Then I got out the tool bag, went round to the front and unscrewed the top of the engine cowling. What a mess. Oil splattered everywhere. And there, sitting in the bottom cowling, was one oil plug. I couldn't believe it. No engine can run without oil. I had heard of a light aircraft in a similar position coming down after losing oil, and the engine seized within 2 minutes. My colleague and our engineer arrived. Fortunately, having the presence of mind to bring fresh oil, he checked out that engine thoroughly using a makeshift stethoscope, then putting in fresh oil and running it. It was fine. To this day, I have no idea how that engine kept running. But I do know that when the same thing happened to my car, the oil plug fell out, it seized up at the side of the road and needed extensive engine repair. How did it happen? The aircraft had been down for inspection and oil change. After this procedure, the oil plug is reinserted, set to a specific torque, and wired locked shut. Can't fail. In this case, the phone rang just as the engineer had secured the oil plug to finger tight, no more. He dealt with the caller, and then asked himself, now where was I? Oh yes, I need to refill the engine with fresh oil. So I took off with the oil plug still finger tight. half an hour's flying with a vibrating engine loosened it completely. This is not to criticise the engineer, who is a good friend, and I myself have made many mistakes too, which I won't tell you about. What I learn yet again is that it doesn't just so happen, but God gave me life and preserves my life and will take me to be with him in his good time. God is involved in every detail of our lives. We had better believe it.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray.
Guðspjall 3:16 Því svo elskaði Guð heiminn að hann gaf enga son sinn til þess að hver sem á hann trúir glatist ekki heldur hafi eilíft líf.
This is Gospel for You, where we're getting the gospel out to every language group around the world. That is one day. That is the vision, to be able to achieve that. But right now, we're very grateful for the opportunity to be able to broadcast via Nexus to Europe, North Africa and the Middle East. Today, we've just been listening in to your gospel in Icelandic. David West, Don't Know About Tomorrow, two testimonies, one from Jacqueline and one from Les Brown, who's a mission aviation pilot, and your gospel in Catalan. Your gospel, listeners, if you've just joined us, is John chapter 3, verse 16, in different languages that we one day will be able to reach every language group around the world with the gospel. But it goes so much more than that, because this theme today is running the race with perseverance. And this running the race that we are doing is set out in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Before we finish the first part of this program, I ask the question, what is the most important thing on your mind at the moment? I told you about the most important thing for me, which is getting the gospel out to every language group around the world. And that is of infinite, utmost, and most extreme amount more important than anything else I do on this earth. But also, my own lifestyle has to match up with that. It's still lagging behind, but I'm getting there. How and why? Seeking God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's what the Bible tells me to do. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And so as we go through life, we have all sorts of challenges, things that may trip us up, and things that are so easy to go down the road of. Just recently, we had a big clear out here at the studio. And I'm a bit of a hoarder, and I'd been holding on to things just in case it was useful, just in case it could be repaired. And so it went on, and you end up with loads of things. And one of our trustees rightly said, well, look, you know, if it's not going to be of any use, then we just throw it away. And because of my background, I just hate throwing things away. But in our lives, we need to consider what's going to be useful and what we actually need to live our lives correctly. It's all too easy to pick up certain devices like mobile phones, of which I have in my hand at the moment. I try and put it on the table. I try and put it into my pocket so I don't look at it. It's all too easy to pick it up thinking, oh, look at the weather. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at that. But what it's really doing is it's stopping us from focusing on that which is most important. Oh, a little bit of shopping, a little bit of YouTube, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. Quite easy, and too easy, to take our mind off where we're going. My colleague, Jack, is having driving lessons at the moment, so he's looking to concentrate his mind and heart on, when he starts driving, on driving so that the journeys that he has will be safe, so that he passes his test. But in life, we concentrate on how we live our lives. And it's only by putting our full trust in God that we're able to do that. We're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to go in to Fergus Buchan with A Kingdom Come, who's talking about boldness for Christ. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we've been thinking about running the race with perseverance and all that that would mean, throwing off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, to be able to run the race with perseverance. And as I pray that as people have been listening, that you will have been speaking to them as well as me. You are the one, Lord, furnishing my words and thoughts. And as I put my trust in you, so might others put their trust in you too. And I pray that as Fergus Buchan now speaks, that people will listen to that. And people's lives will be changed in a way that brings them to you. Amen. Here's Fergus Buchan.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Kingdom Come, our second series of teachings with me, Jess Priest, and Pastor Fergus Buchan from MMI London. Thank you all so much for joining us again tonight and tuning in. So last week's episode was from the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 6 to 9, where the Lord says, "The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are from me." And it was all about how, in many instances, people say certain things, but their actions don't always match up. And tonight's message is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 20, and it's all about speaking up about Jesus and being bold about what he has done for you. So without further ado, over to you, Pastor Fergus.
Well, good evening, everybody, and Jess as well. It's lovely to be together again to share the word of God with you all. Let us have a word of prayer first, and then we'll get right into the word. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the station that we can use to get your word out. Thank you for Jess, who faithfully comes on every evening and sits with us, and we discuss and bring the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for being with us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, brothers and sisters, the title to the message tonight is Your Boldness for Christ. And this is relative for me. It's relative for Jess sitting right there with me. But it's also relative for all of you born-again Christians. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about is speaking up for Jesus. And sometimes you might feel a little bit lonely. You might feel a bit isolated because, you know, we have to live in this world, Jess, don't we? And we've got friends that are friends, but they're not born again. But they're still friends, you know. And it comes a time where, well, you have to make choices. But we cannot be quiet about Jesus when a relative question comes. Okay, so I've got some one or two testimonies here. And I've got let's go for the scripture first, because that's what it's all about. All right. So your boldness for Christ. Go to the book of Acts with me, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to be reading from chapter 4, verse 20. Okay, now this is what it says here. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Okay, now this is Peter and John speaking. Don't forget that Pentecost has come and gone. It's the early church, Jess. These guys are they were always on fire for Jesus because they walked with him. But now they're born again, spirit-filled. The Lord Jesus has ascended unto heaven, and they're out there doing the work now. Okay, like we are doing right now, by the way. The Lord is with us. We know that. He said he'll never leave us orphans or forsake us, but he's not physically with us. Spiritually, he lives in us. So there comes a time we might sometimes be afraid to share our faith in the Lord Jesus because people might feel uncomfortable and reject us. Hey, Jess, you know, Jess is a lot younger than me, brothers and sisters, and I'm sure Jess, like me, by the way, in my profession that I used to have, a lot of people don't know Jesus. And I'm sure, Jess, you must feel it when you go out for dinners or barbecues or braai places, as it's called in South Africa. A lot of people around the fire are not saved or not Christians, even, you know, to go even blunter. And sometimes you get a question, don't you? Just you got a question once in a coffee shop in London, didn't you? You were sitting with some girlfriends, and
yeah, and you know it happens. It happens a lot. And you know, I think before when I was a little bit younger, when I wasn't so strong in my walk of faith, I found it a lot more difficult. I found it sometimes a little bit awkward or not really knowing what to say. But you know what? I've kind of come to that realization that you've just got to be bold, and you've just got to say it how it is, and you know, obviously, and just hope and pray that they respect your beliefs and you know, and what you have to say just as much as you should respect theirs. But yeah, it happens a lot, but you've just got to be strong, and you just got to have boldness and stand up for Jesus.
Absolutely, and trust him, you know. And the thing is, when we close tonight, brothers and sisters, I've got a very, very powerful scripture which Jess just spoke about, because it's very relative what she just said and what I'm going to share with you. You do sometimes feel uncomfortable. You do sometimes feel, I mean, I'm talking when, like Jess just said, when she started her walk with the Lord. You know, we're old hands at it now, Jess and I, I'm not going to go as far as saying this, Jess, while I can. I don't really care if you get upset or annoyed with me. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. If you're ashamed of Jesus Christ, you've got a problem if you're a Christian.
Yeah. Okay?
So I've got two little testimonies I want to share with you. One was shared on a meeting that we had this week, and the other one actually happened to me and a friend of mine, an associate pastor, Jess, you know, Pastor Carl. I'll share with you what happened there. Okay. Well, the first testimony is that this particular lady, she's a lovely woman. What a powerful testimony she's got. Also lives in your lovely country, Jess, where you are at the moment, South Africa. And She'd been praying for her husband for many, many, many years, not saved, not born again, nothing. She came to the Lord radically after a powerful testimony. Anyway, about 3-4 weeks ago, he got saved. And he came in, gave his life to Jesus, and they rejoiced. And she's just on seventh heaven. So he works with his hands, and he had to go out and do a job. And he's always been a very kind man. You know, that's the other thing, Jess, and sisters and brothers are listening to us. There's a lot of people out there that aren't Christians, but they're very nice people. Mm. I mean, there's Muslims I know that are not Christians. They don't believe in Jesus Christ at all, but they're nice people. Hindus, how many Hindus do we know? You know, they bring you trays of food and samosas and things, and they don't know Jesus, but they're lovely people. Sadly, the issue comes, they're not going to heaven.
Yeah.
See, that's the bad, that's the sad part, where we have pity and empathy, okay? So anyway, this chappy goes and does a job for this guy, or was it an elderly couple, I think, or something. And that was just a connection under the sink. And they said, how much do we owe you? He said, no, don't worry. I'll just live up the road. You don't have to pay me, you see? But now, don't forget, now he's given his life to the Lord for about a week. And the old gentleman, he says, well, if you're not going to, he said, I'll go to my cupboard, and he brings out a lovely bottle of wine. Okay, so now we've spoken about alcohol before, all of us, and we're not going to go down that road, okay? And this chap said, oh, no, thanks. I don't drink anymore. So the guy said, why? So because he was known to be, I wouldn't say a heavy drinker, but a drinker, right? He said, no, I just don't drink anymore. Oh, okay. So he walked out, went back and told his dear wife what had happened. So the following week, the friend's got a yacht, and there's some issues on the yacht, and he goes down and does it, and it's lovely in the sun, and they're sitting there and have a sandwich or something, or a cuppa, and now the job's done, and how much do we owe you? And, it's all right, because your friends are mine. You see, Jess, you don't charge friends. Sometimes you have to, but if you don't, if you can't, you know. And this person said, well, don't worry. There's a case of beer coming to your house. And again, this chap said, because he'd made that stand, okay? He wasn't going to drink anymore because it did cause problems. So anyway, he said, no, don't send me any beer. I don't drink anymore. So the guy said, well, why? But he didn't say it why. He didn't say why, you see? No, I just don't drink anymore. Well, what can I give you? He said, well, send us some soft drinks. He says, okay, well, fine. He comes home and tells his dear wife again, but now his dear wife has been walking with the Lord for 25 years, 30 years, praying for him. And now comes the point, your boldness for Christ. She said, hey, listen, the next time this happens, you've actually got to say why you don't drink. yes, as we say in England. Well, are you ashamed of Jesus? No, I'm not. Tell them why you don't drink. And you know, that hit me right between the eyes, because that's where I got this message today, brothers and sisters. And I went to the book of Acts, because John and Peter, man, you couldn't shut those guys up. Whether in prison, whether being beaten, whether they were preaching, weren't they? So that's the first testimony. Okay, now the second one comes, and it's a relative one because I was involved in it. Every Tuesday after my morning meetings at 2 o'clock, I've got an associate pastor with our ministry, Pastor Carl Roo, also South African, living in London. Supernaturally, we met up, and he's part of us. So every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, Jess, we go down to Bishop's Park, which you know very well, and we buy a coffee, and we go and sit on a bench under a tree, and we pray. Break bread, always break bread. And so we sat down and started to chat about how's your week been and whatever. And I was just going to say something, and he looked over my shoulder. So I couldn't obviously see what was coming behind me. And there was a lady coming, and he said, oh, good morning or good afternoon. And she says, good afternoon. And you're battling with your leg. She was walking with a walking stick, yes, but not old, not an old lady, a black lady, but not an old lady. She said, yes, I've got issues with my back and my spine and my knees, and I'm in a lot of pain. So Pastor Carl said to her, can we pray for you? So she looked down on the bench, and between him and I, you know that little traveling communion set, the famous one? I was already preparing the juice and the bread. And she knew what that was. I'll tell you just now why. Anyway, she said, yes, I'd like that. So he said, well, I'm Pastor Coral, and this is Pastor Fergus from Messiah Ministries. We're both pastors, which is what's a double blessing for men of God to pray for me. She was just walking in the park, trying to get some fresh air. So I said, well, look, and Pastor Coral said, well, this is the man that's going to do the praying and the laying of hands. I said, that's because I do that all the time. And I said, yep. And I said to her, her name was Roxanne. Lovely lady, man. And obviously, I said, you obviously believe in Jesus. Yes, I'm born again, sir. I said, well, good. You know what this oil means? There's no power in it. It signifies the Holy Spirit. She said, I know that, sir. I said, you also know the laying of hands is very relative. It's not really. I didn't know that. I said, yeah. Mark 16, verse 18, I think. Lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. She said, oh, beautiful. So I anointed her, laid hands on her, prayed, believed. She received Jesus again for healing. Yes, okay. But as we were finished praying, her cousin came up, also obviously a black gentleman. And he said, oh, what are you guys doing? So she said, these guys are praying over me. And I said, oh, what's your name? And I forget his name now. And I said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Nah, I'm an unbeliever. You see, same family, this is the cousin. He's an unbeliever, yes, and she's a believer. Anyway, the point I'm coming to now is this again, your boldness for Christ. There's this lady hobbling down. I didn't see her because she was coming down over my shoulder, but Pastor Carl was bold enough to say, hey, how are you? You battling? Yes, can we pray for you? So once again, I think we put good seed into her cousin's heart because they didn't have time to carry on chatting. But she did say this to me, Jess. This is what we're going to have to pray about later on for a house of prayer, because she said, where's your church? I said, well, at the moment we meet in my home. We have a home church, but a very big Zoom church. She said, that's great. She said, because I'd like to come to your ministry. I said, well, and she had three little girls there, daughters, 10, 12, 6. And they said they'd die to come to a meeting as open as we are.
Mm.
So the boldness is what we need, Jess.
Yeah.
And brothers and sisters, because, you know, it says here, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, in our ministry, we've seen so many phenomenal healings just for one thing. And obviously, Carl saw this lady before me. But I would have approached her because she just knows me really well. We've done a lot of ministry together. I don't stand back for anybody. If I have to speak to you, I'll speak to you. The Holy Spirit says, no, don't say anything. I won't say anything.
Mm.
But to be bold for Jesus Christ. And my last little story, and then, Jess, we're going to close down because we're running out of time. When we came back from Germany and went back to South Africa, and my brother and I worked together for 6 years, and in the ministry that he had, still got, by the way, but anyway, and my son also joined, and Auntie Joanne, my wife, did the books and got the office all set up, and she's very good with accounting. We'd go on a Saturday or a Thursday or a Friday and have a little breakfast at a place called the Wimpy, which means nothing to you overseas, but in South Africa, it's big. And out came the bacon and eggs and the toast and the coffee and everything. Oh, sorry. I've got my little doggy sitting under my feet here. I just kicked it. And I said, let's give grace. Let's give thanks. So we gave thanks. Anyway, we got stuck in, but there was a gentleman sitting opposite us. Big elderly guy, white hair. And as we were tucking in, he had finished his breakfast. He got up and walked across and said, good morning. So I just said, oh, hello. He said, were you giving thanks for your food? I said, yeah. He says, well, I don't often see that in public. He says, for your boldness. Because nobody else did. The food was coming out of there with hamburgers and, you know. And I said, well, that's what we do. So he said, well, he said, that's great. He says, I just want to just thank you and keep doing it. And he left. But to keep the story shorter, by us being bold and saying, well, we don't care who's around us. We don't care where we are. I don't care if the guy who owns the place is an atheist. I'm giving thanks for this food.
Mm.
this guy's brother has one of the biggest ministries in KwaZulu-Natal called Kwasisa Bantu, Erla Stegen. This is his brother Manfred. And Manfred has a massive ministry. People are watching us, Jess.
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm not saying this because they got a massive ministry. Everybody knows about Kwasisa Bantu. It's massive. It's just that Joe and I weren't going to put the lamp under the table. Okay. And to this day, and I know when we first started, by the way, guys, don't think I'm the hero. Because when I first got born again and gave my life to Jesus, I'd say a grace in under 1 second. Because I was, and now it's almost like a sermon. Okay. So don't, it'll come, Jess, it'll come. Brothers and sisters, Matthew 10:32 says this. If you deny me before men, yeah, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Remember that, okay? Just remember that. Because, you know, it's all very well for me and Jess to pray together, or Jess to go into a closet or a bedroom, jump into bed and pray to God and proclaim his name and the goodness. And, But now she's sitting with a bunch of her girlfriends and friends, whatever, young guys, young girls, I don't know. And somebody says, I believe you're a Christian. Remember Peter around the fire before Pentecost? Weren't you one of his? No, I didn't know him. Oh, my goodness gracious. Eh? So, brothers and sisters, your boldness for Christ, please. Let us pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the listeners, Jess, me, would be more bolder. And those that aren't bold, you would give them the strength to be bold. Because if they pray to you, you will give them the strength to speak out for you and not be ashamed. How can we be ashamed of somebody that died for us and gave his life so that we may live? So thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Fergus, for that message. I think that was a really good little reminder, and I'm sure everyone else can agree with me. And it's so true. I think sometimes we either forget, or maybe some of us, especially the newer Christians walking in faith, sometimes it can be a little bit daunting, but I think it's true. You just got to remember, you got to be bold, and it's actually not about us, and it's not about how we feel. We got to be bold and speak up for Jesus. So thank you so much for that message. And as always, if any of you have any questions or prayer requests, please send them in to our email, which is mmi.londonprayer@gmail.com. And Pastor Fergus would love to hear them and get back to you. So we'll see you all next week. And don't forget to tune in and join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on Gospel for Grampian. Until then, God bless.
God bless.
Pastor Fergus Buchan on Being Bold for Christ, and you'll be able to hear more Kingdom Comes on Gospel for Grampian Radio, and we broadcast them on Wednesday evening and Saturday evening at 8 p.m. If you'd like to tune in to Gospel for Grampian for a wide range of different programs, including Gospel Cafe, Gospel for You, and in fact during the week, then do please go to your browser, type in listen.g4g.org.uk, and you can also pick us up through Internet Radio UK. Right, this particular part of the program, we're going to be reminding you once again of our scripture, of our theme, and our theme is running the race with perseverance. Our scripture is Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I want to pray just now that there would be a full understanding in all our hearts of what we've heard today. But also, this is an opportunity in this section for you, the listener, to respond. First of all, dear Lord, there's been much to think about in this program. Thank you for helping me to produce it. But I pray for our listeners right now, wherever they are, in Europe, North Africa and the Middle East, or anywhere in the world, as they listen in to this again on Friday and through podcast. Lord God, that you'll bring your word alive to people. And so that as they have been listening, you've been speaking to them, and they would realize that the Bible is true, and that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even to dividing soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and judging the thoughts and intentions of the heart. They would quickly realize that you are God who sees everything, and each of us is accountable to you. Amen. Now, listeners, we would encourage you, if what you have heard on this program, or indeed on previous programs, and perhaps been on the fence thinking, maybe I'll wait just one more week, or maybe I just want to hear that little bit more. Each week we give an opportunity for you to respond. And so we would encourage you now, if what we've said has impacted you and you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Saviour, to be able to run that race with perseverance, to be able to get to a prize, as the Bible puts it, then here's how. This is a prayer that puts an entire reliance on God. We need to remember that God is with us, and Christ makes us acceptable to God. God is with us, and we don't have to do this alone. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived my life, my wrong attitudes, my wrong words, thoughts, actions, and the things I haven't done, and the promises I've broken, and the way I've let people down. Please forgive me. Please help me to turn from all this sin. Please now come into my life by your Spirit to be my Lord and Saviour forever, and help me to be the person you want me to be. Amen. And that's a prayer that God will answer. You said it with your heart and meant it. God will answer that prayer. As you've accepted Christ, you've been made right with God. And because you've been made right with God, you can come with boldness to God, asking him anything in prayer. You can come, because of Christ Jesus, with expectation that the things that you now do, providing you put your faith into practice, the things that you now do are going to be noticed by God. And as a result of that, and running that race with perseverance, you will receive a crown, a prize, much greater than ever anything on earth could ever compare to. I can't even imagine what that might look like for me. But what I do know is in faith, and it is by faith, that I have that hope. Listeners, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Saviour, we invite you to start reading the Bible. You might find can get Bible apps on your phone. You might find a Bible on your shelves in your home, wherever you are. Start reading the Bible. Start asking God. Prayer is talking to God, so pray, because God wants to hear you. Start walking in faith and start demonstrating your faith clearly so that others can see. If you'd like to ask any questions about this program, then we invite you to do so. Our email address is info@g4g.org.uk. You can contact me direct, rob@g4g.org.uk. You can write on the Gospel for Grampian Facebook page. And remember, we would love to invite you to listen in to Gospel for Grampian Live, and that's listen.g4g.org.uk. You can do that directly, or look out for any other player and type in Gospel for Grampian into that. You can hear us on your smart speaker. Do get in contact, info@g4g.org.uk. I say bye-bye for now. We've got your gospel in Malayalam, and call Erasmus, Lord, you are so amazing, just to finish the program. Bye-bye for now.
യോഹന്നാൻ 3:16. തന്റെ ഏകജാതനായ പുത്രനിൽ വിശ്വസിക്കുന്ന ഏവനും നശിച്ചു പോകാതെ നിത്യജീവൻ പ്രാപിക്കേണ്ടതിനു ദൈവം അവനെ നൽകുവാൻ തക്കവണ്ണം ലോകത്തെ സ്നേഹിച്ചു.
On my knees to pray. Lord, I know you hear every word I say, and you'll get back to me without delay. I need you, Lord, I'm going through a desperate time. Without your blessing, feel my life's not worth the time. Need your help to get my life back in line. I felt it once, the holy power is divine. Hey, wherever I go, I want you there by me. You're still there with me every night I cry. You called me, Lord. I said I'm busy, but I lied. But now I'm changed. That other man, he died. You carried your cross. Not worth a dime. I need your help to get my life.